Good to go.
Can I get a motion on the minutes?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
All in favor? Any opposed? All right, Keith, you're up.
All right. Financials are the same financials that were there as of the board meeting.
Where's the other one?
She's on vacation.
Oh, are you taking any minutes?
Yes, Corey is.
Oh, thanks.
We have a total of $13,641,000 in cash and investments, of which just under $10,009,958,000 is in bad money. I just have one mention. We got a rating, and Rich has asked about this. He got the email about it too, from the NYC DEP contract from 2021, and they're rated good. As far as that, Linda and I went back just to see, because I had no idea, is good, or is that mean you're barely functioning?
Good, better's best.
And we've never been rated higher than good, so I think that are good.
Hi.
Hey, Mike.
And so, we're rated good.
Better than bad.
Better than bad.
Is there a copy from Mike?
And I assume that since I just gave you the 2022 information, that they'll probably publish that one as a 2022. This is as a 2021.
Publish which?
Next.
The.
The vendor rating, and I assume that's coming from you.
Yes, that's coming from us. I know that there's a lot of internal talk about these ratings.
Okay.
Good as bad as we get.
Okay.
Well, that's good. We're as good as it gets.
As good as it gets.
Good as it gets.
Joy there.
All right, you done, Keith?
Yep, I'm done.
Kevin?
All right, so we are starting construction on PCMB 1000 on next Wednesday, on November 1st. The project is expected to go through the winter with final stabilization in the spring. We are looking forward to starting YMU 40 as soon as possible, with finalizing the agreements with Army Corps of Engineers right now and in council. The hope was to get started on November 1st as well, but the contractor understands that we're at the mercy of the federal government. So if we have any updates on that and that contract, we'll make sure to provide it to the board. I expect my hope is that by the November Executive Committee meeting, we'll be well underway with that project. Other than that, we are wrapping up NSMU 601 on Keeler Lane. And with some final stabilization that still needs to take place, unfortunately, we've had some trouble with some of the soils up there that we're going to keep monitoring to make sure, see whether or not the contractor needs to do anything, or if we can close it out. It was such a wet year so far, and the intensity of the storms, it's done quite a number on that channel, so we don't want to leave the site until we're fully confident.
And when you say it, I look down below, it looks clean to me.
Yes, up at the Old Shanty property, there was a spot that we had some trouble over the summer with. And
just collapsing, you mean?
Yeah, the soils are very plastic, yeah.
It was interesting, I just looked, it's Dennis Delmore. You know Dennis, he's the OEM coordinator, I guess, for Westchester. I said, what do you use for rainfall, because it seems to be we've had a lot of rain this year. This year is the same. It's the average.
Yep.
I mean, 2011 and 9 were the very high and the very low, with like 30 inches more rain. The only difference here is we didn't have too much in May, June, and we're getting more in September, October.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's the same amount of rain that we've had. It's average.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The intensities of the individual storms.
Overall.
Right.
Yeah. If you look at the graph, it's ending up at average, and I think 2011 was high and 9 was low or something. I was surprised. I expected this to be a very good year.
In general, we had a few projects that we thought would be going to be in construction right now, so we'll that hit some roadblocks. As you guys know, we tried to LMU 1017 in Lake Katona, and that one's still, we did that about 2 months ago, and that one's still in a design rework to get the cost into an acceptable range. So we're going to transition over to some of the projects that we had earmarked for the spring to try to accelerate them and get them going for winter construction. And fortunately, many of those are lined up and in good shape. So we'll keep pressing ahead with the new list. That's it.
Now for the fun stuff, living returns. Have you had a chance to go through this?
Yeah, what you had a meeting, did you have a meeting, anything discussion about it last meeting?
We did at the general meeting, the full board meeting. And it was generally decided just to table it at that point, if I recall, yeah, and take it back to the executive committee.
Well, I think we need to sit down with
Warrior Kern.
Yeah, I'm thinking of trying to think of the engineer's name.
Ken.
But if we're going to sit down with them, we need to provide direction, and we need to come to some sort of general agreement about what that direction is. Again, my problem with what they've done is we basically handed them everything, they reformatted it and stuck it in a report, and they charged us a lot of money for it, and haven't really progressed with anything.
Yes.
And the report comes back, which basically says we're going to, now we're going to take, three, we're going to pick three projects, we're looking for the board to say we're going to pick these three projects, agree with us, and move them forward. And I think that is problematic in that,
well, nobody's going to agree on the three.
Right. I mean, everybody's going to want to.
What I saw was
in.
Not really, I for $300,000, I know we haven't paid them that yet, but the work product was very substantive.
Very. I agree.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. I went back and looked at the RFP and what we asked for them to provide at this point. And what's missing specifically is, after summarizing all the areas of concern from the original reports we gave them and then from any additional sites that towns came up with, what was missing is the effective watersheds, gallons per day, and anticipated benefit from sewering any of these areas.
Well, there's no discussion on alternatives either.
Which doesn't come until later in the process, but I agree we should probably have a clear idea of whether or not that analysis should be done for a sewer or a septic, depending on where it is.
Well, let's start with, let's take those questions one by one. So you had initially identified 15 areas of concern, is that right? That you had given them data on?
Who are you talking to, Kevin?
Kevin, right.
So
you originally gave them data on 15 areas of concern?
22 areas
22.
In 14 towns.
Okay. 14 towns, okay. So they were supposed to have conversations with all of the BOH communities, right?
Correct.
And identify additional areas of concern, correct?
Correct.
So you don't think that happened?
Well, if per this, I don't know the detail of each conversation that took place, but per the table they provided, they did speak with everybody. Whether or not the towns provided other areas and a new spots for them to be looking at, I can't answer that question. It sure doesn't seem like it. Maybe some supervisors raised the concern that there were areas that maybe aren't listed here that we need to get clarity on.
But this doesn't expand the list of projects or issues that you identified to them? Are there any on here that were not on the original communication?
I haven't gone back and compared one to one.
Okay.
To answer that question.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to get a sense of what they actually did. So
we know from the last meeting that they didn't reach out to the village of Pauling at all.
Right.
Yeah, I see more study areas listed here than we originally asked them to. To your point, they did not ask the village.
Is that the only one they missed, or did they miss anybody else?
That was it.
Okay.
Well, I'm not sure if they spoke to our supervisor. I know they did get our map plan and report, which they might have based that information on for falling out of that.
I guess my concern is this for Cook Falls, which I have called him up many times to just get him to come over. That is not worth 1/16th or 1/18th or whatever the hell we paid him. I gave him far more than that.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just confused as to what they think they're getting paid for.
I think Rich Franzetti brought it up to you that I have spoken to Anthony and Steve about another project that we're running in the town of Carmel.
Okay.
But I never had the meeting with them that they, we never scheduled it. We never had a meeting about all of our, and it's extensive, the amount of sewer existing, not even adding. And we never had that meeting. So I mean, they're saying that it's on me, that you didn't follow up. Rich says it's on them. It doesn't really matter who it's on.
They just didn't freaking report. It's on them.
It never happened, which is unfortunate. And I like them very much because we're doing a project with them, and they've really been on that project. We're paying for that project.
Right.
We paid them, what,
$70,000? Sounds right.
I mean, a paragraph on each one is not $70,000. Did we get more than this, or is this everything we got, right? This is
everything we got.
So the contract was for $225,000?
Yeah. Well, I understand.
To produce this?
Well, to produce the ultimate report.
Yeah, right? The final version is will be far more detailed. So then, all right, well then the question, you know, just to cut to it, are we going to tell them to go back and re-go through this step and identify more, all the rest of those areas and provide more detail? Because as of right now, they narrowed it down to those three or so. So the question is, do we have them go back and look at everything all over again and give us more, you know, more analysis on every piece that's been offered? But if we're going to do that, then I recommend that Corey and I sit down with every town supervisor and cut to the chase and get the full list and cut out the water and current to understand what exactly has been communicated.
Well, that might be a good first step. It's for you and Corey to contact every town, have a conversation with them, you know, make sure they've got a copy of this report and have reviewed it, and then kind of summarize what they provided, which is basically doing what we just paid $70,000 for them to do.
Yeah.
And then go back to Water and Currents. And because if we go back to Water and Currents right now and say we just want more detail on all this, they're going to say we want more money on this.
Yeah.
I even sent them this, right? And I know it's like, okay, what is he trying to show? But, you know, I mean, there's a lot of detail. This is every town. It's Newcastle. These are the sewer projects, the totals. Yorktown, Lewisboro. These are all the ones in Westchester. Right? There's maps and things. I sent them this in June. And I said, you know, just so you have a leg up, here's some stuff. There's nothing in here. I mean, we all have engineering diagrams and things.
Right, does Kevin have that as well?
I went up to, all the Westchester supervisors went up to see Sabrina Tide in 2016.
Right.
And I said, it's changed, but here it is, but I'm happy to send this over.
Well, I'm just wondering if we should have a database in both places, right? So Woodard and Curran should have a copy, but we should have a copy, right? Don't you think?
Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know if it helps, but...
All of those aren't in the watershed, though, right?
These were all in the watershed.
Oh, they're all in the watershed. It's not just all Westchester.
It was Westchester in the watershed.
In the watershed, sorry.
Yeah.
Dallas is in the watershed.
A bunch of the towns went up to see Sabrina because we had a $100 million problem. And we could raise about 60-some-odd million. I said, we need another $40 million for this. Is there any way you can help? And she goes, I can give you 25% of what you don't have. And I said, well, then we still have a $30 million problem. We basically got no procedures. There's no funding thing that I have that would address that. But we actually, I put this together, and I took everybody's documents and just said, you know, here are the costs, and I don't even see, maybe there's costs in here.
So do we need a motion to do?
Well, let's go a little bit further. So, what do you expect from them So after that next step, in terms of a product, let's communicate clearly what you want. You know, they're
do
not
incurring.
Yes, there's not enough data in here to
yeah,
reflect
what
you want.
Yeah, I thought
what
we were expecting
back
was something
okay
that said, here's the size of the problem we have. It's $283 million, right? And it goes across these things, and here's maybe a priority list or stuff like that. I mean, maybe Millie, you can even chime in from a planning department what you see in some of these things, but just a paragraph on each one without numbers or anything. I think we all have numbers.
Well, that's the thing that jumps out at me is that there's no cost listed
yeah
in here. There's no how many people it's going to benefit, what it's going to benefit exactly. I mean, the details are sparse, to put it mildly. And then, you know, just in terms of Mount Kisco, what Ed raised at the last meeting struck me is like, did they even look at this other area that is more contiguous to Mount Kisco than the Newcastle? Ed was saying that there's an area in Bedford that would probably be better suited to go through the Mount Kisco pump station than this area in Newcastle. And
yeah, I know Ellen's looking for grants to do some of that. WQIP, or not WQIP, whatever it was, yeah, she applied for some. That may be Bedford Village, but I'm not sure. But yeah, she has other areas too.
Well,
I don't
there's
know
a doctor's here office there, and there's a new housing thing going up. It's right, sort of an area within Bedford that almost looks like it should be in Mount Kisco, because it just sort of juts out into Mount Kisco. But, I mean, whatever. I was struck. I mean, there's no dollar ranges in here.
Because I think if you're going to ask them to redo things, I think you want to identify what is it that you think was deficient and what do you want to
yeah
see in the final, right?
Right?
So can you maybe flesh that out with a memo or something?
Yes.
Okay.
So again, what I think Kevin and Corey need to do is go back to every town, say, listen, this is the summary we got. You know, do you think it's adequate? You know, what additional data do you think it should be in here? You know.
And also, if I may, just like you guys do sort of a cost-benefit analysis of how much benefit are we going to get for the cost, I don't have any sense of the benefit that would come out of, you know, I mean, so you would think we chose these three because you're going to reduce phosphorus or, I'm assuming phosphorus is the gluten concern here, but you're gonna be able to put, even if you said this number of houses, or you're gonna do this for this amount of dollars. It's just kind of, these are the three that we want, that we recommend, without a sense of criteria or prioritization that went into it. So I'd much rather see them take, and I don't have a sense of the universe. So you take the universe, then you say, what are the criteria we use to prioritize, and maybe you prioritize the whole darn thing, because if you're going to ask for $300 million, you know, you want to say, here's how it is. To me, both the cost wasn't there and the benefit wasn't there, so you put the two together.
Yeah, there was no benefit listed.
Right.
No.
There's no specifications on
there. No, there was no criteria based on that.
Right.
They used to make the justifications for
well, the
three they picked.
The one that they said in here was identified a priority where intermunicipal coordination is required because funding agencies look favorably upon that. I'm just saying that's what they said.
Right.
I'm not saying I agree with that.
I mean, yes, but you think you would say, and here's the benefit, or you can get this much money, or whatever.
All right, so I believe we've got a next step, at least, on what we're doing here.
And then, but what's the final report, I mean, the next step after doing a further sort of broad analysis was always to do a more detailed analysis on some of the projects?
Yes, I believe we were going to select projects that they were going to do a more detailed analysis
on. So they suggested three. Are you okay with that, or are you asking them to go back and recommend a prioritization of a larger number of projects?
Well, I think before we have that conversation, we need to hear back from all the towns.
Three isn't enough. It's not going to be enough.
Well, that's my question, but I think we need to communicate to them.
I understand.
Right.
So the question is, what level of detail do we need? And, you know, they spent an hour with me after I bludgeoned them multiple times with phone calls. I gave them a bunch of stuff. I gave them numbers and everything else. And, of course, none of that's here. And we have diagrams and pictures. And so none of that's here. I'm sure everybody else. And things change. I get that, you know.
But they seem to be, when they use the word engineering report, I don't really know what they mean. Do they mean a PER? Do they mean, you know, what kind of report are they proposing to prepare, right?
What's in the RFP? Theoretically is what they're facing.
So the start of their analysis was, here's our big group of reports that we have to look up, and the analysis that's been done so far to date. And that encompassed, I think it was, as I said earlier, 22 areas and 14 municipalities, I think. From that, they were to go meet with all the towns, say, hey, this is the stack of papers we've got for you already. What are your other concerns? What are your other areas?
And this is all spelled out in the RFP?
Correct, yeah. And then take that full analysis, all 19 municipalities, look at all that, and then come back to us at the committee here and say, these are the areas we recommend going forward with. These are the projects we recommend going forward with. This board would make a decision to say, yes, no, add more, this doesn't seem worth it. And then they would provide a study that would have been was fairly comprehensive with alternatives, ownership of all the regions for us to make an eventual submittal to the state or federal.
So,
how did we end up with just three, though? Was that part of the original request?
No, that was just that they looked at what was provided to them from the towns. Allegedly provided to them from
well,
the towns, and it said, hey, these are the three that make sense.
They did not.
Yeah, we
did meet a lot.
With no, me,
yeah.
It was just a couple of emails.
Or
the town.
Instead of a meeting.
Just says, shall prepare a final list of areas for which an engineering assessment may be completed by the consultant. It doesn't say a number.
Very
nice
lunch.
Correct.
They bought or you bought?
Oh, they
bought.
But it does have a much more comprehensive list of things that they're supposed to be doing for the preliminary report, right?
There are things missing.
This comprehensive list that you're looking at is not for the preliminary report.
No, but, well, I mean a PER. I mean, not the enhanced big list. I mean the PER for the projects that you select.
Yeah, once we get to the point of, yeah, these are the roads we want to go down to,
right.
Then we have a
so
very
the,
specific
the summary
criteria.
Report was supposed to be areas of concern, watershed, gallons per day of required flows, anticipated benefit from sewering the affected area, and anticipated costs.
Well,
correct.
That's
okay, so
enough.
Those were the things that were identified in the RFP.
Correct.
Okay. So
there you have it.
Also, additional information that may be needed based on, for each of the reports that have been completed. So they were supposed to read the reports that you already had and identify the things that were sort of missing from that list, right?
Correct.
Okay. So maybe we need to go out back and read the RFP out loud. I don't know. But do you have a sense of the number of projects that you expected? I mean, obviously that has a direct impact on how much money they're going to have to spend on it, and we need to be reasonable with what did you expect the first phase to be, a third? And if the second phase was two-thirds, then, you know, how many reports can you legitimately do? You know, you can't do 10. There's not enough money.
I understand.
Right? So.
But based on what I have here, I would be hard pressed to pick out which projects I would support moving forward with in a study, because there's not enough information.
I thought what we were doing for the $300,000 is how much detail can we put in for each one, not unlike what we were just talking about with all the costs and stuff, and moving that forward and saying, okay, our problem is a $300 million problem, whatever it is,
right,
and here are the priorities. I think picking three doesn't help us, because this isn't...
No, but at the same time, there are areas, Walkabuck has some DEP funding now.
They have some funding, I have some funding, but there's tons of other areas out there,
yes,
that have problems.
Absolutely, but yeah. I'm saying we could drop Walkabuck out of this.
No, why would you drop Walkabuck out? They still don't have all their grant money.
I thought they were fully funded.
No, they have 18 million, they need 40 some odd. 44, well, how much do they need, Jen?
Well, the sizing that we have now, we need 40, but the original sizing said, to 100. Do this, you need 100 million,
yeah.
Just for this one little section. We said, impossible, so we...
Yeah, we changed
40,
the scope.
But it makes a very...
And I'm 6.25 for Croton Falls,
right,
and I probably need about 14, right? So we've applied for grants. So, that, you know, I don't think you'd drop people out. We don't need huge amounts. We need a page on each one that goes through, this is what the problem is, here are the things that they're looking at doing, here are the costs, estimated costs. And if they did that for each one, what Chris wanted out of this... In fact, I was on a call with Tom Snow the other day, and Chris said, "We got this whole thing's done. It's only going to be a beautiful document." I said, "It's not done yet." What he wants out of this is a document that is going to sit someplace so people can look at it and say, "Okay, we have a funding problem down here, and we need this much money."
Well, then we have a bigger issue, because that's not what the RFP calls for.
Correct.
Well, so what
so
is
then,
the?
So that we need to sit back down, we need to decide very specifically what we want to
do.
Did
the RFP call for three?
No,
the RFP said, these are all your problem areas, now we're going to do a full assessment on those so that it gets to a point where you can qualify these X amount of projects for funding in the future.
Yeah, I don't think that's really... What is that going to do for us?
It gives us those X amount of projects to get funded. That's the,
yeah,
the product
think,
that comes
I think
out
what,
of it.
What we need is we need to know what the total problem is. And it has to be slow.
Sure.
Look, I can say I have I want to put sewers in Purdy's, but the reality of that is probably not really high, right? So, okay, there people are going to have things that are low on the list, but at least in general, these are all the high priority ones. It's not three. I mean, you know.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. It's not three. And as I said right from the very beginning, if it's not benefiting all of us, why are we doing it?
Exactly.
So, but at the same time, your point, right, we need to identify those high priority areas.
Well, I think we have all of them, and maybe in the documents, I'm going to say these are the ones that have this type of funding, these are the ones that are ready to go, these are the ones that, you know, Lake Shenorock, Somers may want Lake Shenorock, but we've already tried that multiple times and it hasn't gotten any place, right?
Shut
so
down.
Yeah.
So then we go back to where we were with this, that we need to contact every town and say, are all the projects on there? Before we can start prioritizing
them. And by the way, Shanorock would probably be more than happy to take the money as Lake Lincolndale, as long as they got funding for it someplace else.
Lake Lincolndale,
yeah,
somehow got into
so,
the play.
You know, you throw it out, it's a problem. It's a real problem. And they can hook right up to Peekskill, the plant. They already have those types of, you know, kind of okays. The pipe's right there. I think it's a 12-inch, 8-inch pipe right there.
Shanorock would have been easy.
But they can't afford it. And no, everybody there is like, if it's going to cost me, you know, X amount of $1,000s a year, I don't want to do it.
Yeah, because you don't know if the community wants it.
So I'm only saying that's an example of something they absolutely need it. If we had the funding for it and you could cover the cost, I think everybody would say this is a great idea. But if they have $10 million, which is what the number was originally for WQIP for Westchester, and it's costing $20 or $30 million, right? So we have these types of problems throughout. And I thought what I was hoping to come up with, and it's not a huge amount of work, it's this is the cost, you know, and the costs are pretty easy. It's anywhere right now probably from $70,000 to $100,000 a hookup is what a sewer costs, right? If you already have a plant and you connect to a pipe, it's a different number. But say these are the estimated costs, and you know, this is the problem that Westchester has and Putnam has. And this is a problem in the East Hudson watershed. And the document you know, once that's out there, it becomes another base that people can use from grants and stuff, saying, like, we have this study, and, you know, this is kind of what we need. That's what I think I was hoping to get out of the document. Because if you just pick Croton Falls and you just pick, you know, people that have some money ready, that leaves out, I think, a lot of areas. Mill, you probably know areas better than, you probably heard about, you know.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, Yeshiva and Newcastle. That's not mentioned in here. But I'm also sort of struck, you know, rereading the Somers one, and they do allude to the fact that the 2019 report that was done and estimated daily flow of 50,000 GPD, but they don't have a cost in here. They did the cost analysis in 2019. It's just striking to me that they don't include that, even if they include something like at in 2019, so this number is not going to be accurate, but it still gives people an idea. I mean, I don't know. It seems like an intern did this.
I mean, the work that I did in pulling the ones together in Westchester has a lot more data in it than this does. And granted, it changes. That was 7 years ago, right? 7 years, 2016, June 2016. But people have all this. I didn't come up with this stuff. I just took your maps and numbers and stuff, and I put each one on a page. And in certain municipalities, it looks a little different than others because that's what I got. So people have all of this data.
I think that's one of the biggest problems here is exactly what's the end goal. And if what you're bringing up is the end goal, to have something that's more comprehensive of, hey, these are all of our problems, not this is a document that's going to get us
for 230
million.
30,000, what do we have left? We can get to that point. I
agree. But we need to give them a clear trajectory to go on, because reading through this, it seems that they have a very different goal, which I think is
how the RP is. If I took $70,000 worth of my town's money and I got this back, you know.
Sure.
I have a problem. Now, this says summary report. So, is there a detailed report they're not showing us, or is this the?
This is it.
This is the precursor to them then picking those three projects and doing further analysis. That's why summary.
So I just sent to the one that I sent out to him in June, saying, you know. I was hoping for something that broke each one out, gave a little more description.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice we all have maps. You got maps, or probably a lot of us do. A lot have designs somewhat, at least high level, including that. So when somebody's looking at it, they go, shit, they spent money on this stuff already. As opposed to, you know, I mean, somewhere spent a lot of money. And I again, if we could somehow get $300 million, it would be gone in 2 seconds, because all these projects would move forward. That wasn't a very good snap.
It's okay, we got the idea.
We got the feel.
So when you're looking at this, keep going back to what's in the grant agreement as the scope, because we can't deviate from that, right? And maybe keep
well, I think we
this
can.
Conversation.
Well,
we'd have to get it modified.
Right, we'd have to go to get it modified. If you want to do something,
we had this discussion before. What did we ask them to do? Did we really? We didn't ask them to prioritize three.
We never said a number.
No.
Just said, you know, what's out there that really needs attention. That
well, there was a further analysis that was in the work plan that we got from DEC, right? That I think got developed by Tom based on discussion with you. Is that right? This work plan.
I don't recall it.
That work plan, I constructed that work plan.
Okay.
Yeah, based off of the RFP that we...
Okay.
Yeah.
So my priorities are different than your priorities. Mine are that I've got two plants that I'm going to get fined for and another one that's going to go. So that doesn't... Not increasing your phosphorus, so not decreasing your phosphorus. So it's not doing anything. It's just saving me from having to pay every day
sure.
a fine because the state decided or the city that... you're no good, and you have to look for mercury or whatever nonsense, or oxygen or some obtuse thing. But
oxygen isn't quite obtuse.
Oh, you need it every day, you mean?
Yeah, sometimes. Bugs need it, everything needs it.
No, but these, some of these things are built in 70 or whatever, and you know, and now because we can test for something else, like the water, oh, now you have to do this, rebuild this plant. And where's that money come from?
Right, so to that point, if you know, if Steve needs septics and you need repairs and somebody else needs a whole new treatment plant, then what's the effect if we were to, in my mind, what's the effect of a septic replacement that goes well beyond Somers, but it also identifies Mount Kisco, perhaps Patterson, and you know, and if we do repairs across everybody, what's that going to be? Is that 250 million? Is it?
You know. So our county was doing that, if you remember, right, way before I was here, and then that's they could be using that sales tax instead of zero tax increase. How about you put it towards septic repairs for Patterson and Carmel and Southeast, and that's something that money would be used
repairs
for that's beneficial.
We went down this road where all of a sudden they were going to start working with communities and sharing it. She walked out the door,
yeah,
and then Kevin came back in and said, no.
But that was under her that they cut that money for the septic repair.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Let that dry up. That is such an important thing, especially to your seniors, my seniors that can't afford to fix their roof. Forget about their septic that now is running into...
But just so you know, DEP still has a septic repair program.
We do in certain areas.
Yes.
Yeah. But you can't have more than $5,000 in your bank, and you have to be destitute.
Well, attention, mm-hmm. I have a question. Like when Kevin or Corey or even Christine are doing what they're doing on this grant, is that getting charged to the state?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
We have a separate
DEP
contract.
Yeah.
Yes.
Your DEP's paying for everything. Go back and tell them.
Have to beat my drum.
No, we have
solid
we have separate allocation.
I'll testify that you said that.
So where's the $10 million you're supposed to give us on the DEP DEC document?
We're working on it.
Okay.
The MS4 permit comes out.
That was harsh, man. That was just nasty.
That was funny. A little funny. Come on.
So you know. A subtlety, when you look at what I had in the little, it's kind of a PowerPoint, but it's a PDF I sent you. It's like, this is the map of the area we're talking about, right? How hard is that to put in a document? You know, so when people upstate are looking at this, they go, well, where is this?
So when we're talking about modifying the scope, one of the things I did here, Warren, is that we want to keep all the projects in and have them prioritize.
Well, I think there are ones that are further along than others.
Right, but they should give us a list on what they think the priority projects are, rank them, right, and give us the criteria on how they're ranking them.
Let me ask a question a little bit differently. Would it behoove us to go out to everybody and say, this is the format we want it in, write something about your project, and this is the data we need, and put it in a Word doc and send it to us? And then say, all of this stuff has to be pulled together. I need totals on everything.
The sewer plant projects, presumably you should all have IUP applications in, right?
What?
IUP applications for
intended
ESC?
Use plan, not necessarily. But,
not necessarily.
Well,
but
certain ones you apply for, it automatically puts it in the IUP.
Right, but you should be, I mean, you know.
But there's stuff in the IUP that is like aged stuff.
I know. But you should at least have that data, right? That is very basic data, but it does include, you know, just describing. But the septics aren't on that list, right? I mean.
Well, we have septic pump out data and stuff like that.
Right. But I mean, those aren't, you know, there's not an IUP structure for that, right? So is there a separate structure for the information that they should be doing for the septic program? I assume you have a list of things. That's part of what
Westchester
has, right?
All the data.
Okay.
But I don't know, you know, just personally, what I've seen, because I know Bedford tried they took $3 million out of their 10 to use for septic. They spent none of it. The county has a septic. Didn't the county take money aside? How much money have you spent for your septic repairs? Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
But that's partially our fault.
No, I'm not saying it's not your fault, but it's also Bedford's fault. And, you know, when the person that makes, you know, $300,000 a year is not going to get money probably to repair a septic.
Right. That is part,
you know,
of our.
And then
issue.
You look at all the other ones that are failing out there, and okay, there's three here and two there, and
right. And the cost to remediate a septic within Westchester County, skyrocketed.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's like 40 or 50,000.
But what's happening is the money is, every program I've seen, the money isn't spent. The only one I heard about was the one you guys ran years ago when you went through your WQIP money from the, who was that guy?
Ed Barnett.
Ed Barnett,
Ed Barnett.
Yeah,
was great at spending that money.
He's
money was no object repairing a septic system.
Yep, yep. And so what ends up happening is you have somebody, you just end up spending 50 grand to fix something that you're like, well, was that the best solution?
You know, I don't know, they're coming back and they need to be replaced, and it costs tens of thousands of dollars to replace the people.
Right.
Where's Ed Barnett?
Yeah, and you know,
oh, yeah.
As I told when Chris was...
Those owners aren't happy, they didn't realize that.
Oh, no.
They're not happy about what?
The peep, the cost of the peep.
They were putting in some, you know, proprietary systems and these things, and, you know, now here we are 10, 15 years later, and these systems are requiring maintenance that's quite expensive, and these owners are calling our programs.
Yes,
you know.
Yeah.
Sounds like the catch basin insurance.
And you know, as I told
them, for money, right?
Yeah, and when
they
I told
didn't realize it was going to be that expensive when they agreed to put them in.
When Chris Burdick was looking at this originally, he went down, he asked for, I think, $3.25 million or $3.27 million, something like that, out of his $10 million to use in his septic. And both Peter Parsons and I, we sat there and beat the crap out of him across multiple months, because when you have a pile of money, $10 million, to piddle it away on 25 grand a year, you know, do something important. And he finally said, okay, we're gonna septic, you know, we're gonna put sewers in Katona. And he put a deal together that was pretty phenomenal, right, with Department of Corrections and everybody else. So personally, spending $5,000 all over the place and ending up with basically the same problem, because the land's saturated and can't take the septic, right?
I mean, I think that there are certain areas where it would be cost prohibitive to sewer it, and so
yes,
it
yes.
does make more sense to make sure that the septics are running properly. And to
so yeah, I mean, I have a study on Putnam Lake that was done as part of that HAB study that the DEC did that showed that it was going to cost anywhere between $65,000 and $85,000 per household to sewer Putnam Lake.
Yeah, but that's what the cost is to sewer things. That's what it was.
I understand. But what was the benefit coming out of that?
I don't know.
How much does it cost to put in an alternate septic system instead of sewer the same area, and now you're pumping clean water into the ground?
Well, it's right. cost half of it.
Well, isn't that partly what this study was supposed to answer? At least, not answer, but identify as issues and study questions.
Yes. I think once we got into the second half of it, that was one of the things, is you know, is the best method sewering or alternative septic systems?
Well, part of your priority discussion on doing the further studies, presumably, is this a good model for that question, and is it representative of other communities with the same problem? I mean, if you're going to pick somebody for a study, is that one of your criteria? Is it representative of other similar, or are they all unique and it's not going to do any good, and you may as
well
just
flip
a coin and do a lottery for who gets a study done? You know?
I think when you're talking about having to sue the lake communities, there's some very there's a lot of similarities between, you know, lake communities. Mm-hmm. When you get into some of the other areas, your commercial districts and such, they're probably going to be more unique.
Yeah, it's a different cost-benefit analysis, commercial versus a residential.
Sure.
But if we're fixing like what Barnett was doing, what we did with the money that the county was giving us, like $6,000 for testing, program with water and sewer from Neil, we were testing the catch basins, trying to locate those septics that are dumping their effluent or whatever into the lake. Like that, you know, two communities we're doing that with, because to me that's how you got to do this.
Did you do that?
Yeah, and Sean told me they're still working on a couple of the houses.
How'd you test it? Taking samples?
Yeah. Going out and testing, taking samples, and like that, it costs money, but that's an important thing. Coordinated with highway to pull the grates up. But if you can find those houses, because the health department isn't going to do it for you. It's on the town or the village to do it, which is a daunting task.
Yeah.
So, but money has to be put not just for fixing, but for also locating and identifying the problem. Off my soapbox.
Offline, I'll tell you, it's a really easy trick to figuring out whether you've got contaminants going into a catch basin.
We will talk then.
You smell, is that what it is? Your nose? Your nose?
Huh? Well, listen, I'll do it right here. You hang a cotton swab in a basket in the flow of water, come back a few days later, hit it with UV, see if it fluoresces. Most of the septic systems have laundry detergent in them, which has brighteners, which will fluoresce. So if you've got either septics going in, or if you've got great water going in.
Well, we were doing that to identify the E. coli to know that that's your septic and not leaves that decayed.
So once you get that positive hit, then you go back and start trying to figure out exactly what it is. Then you do your E. coli test. You know, you can also run a chlorine test, see if there's any chlorine in it. Usually it's not going to be, but.
That's a good thought.
Yeah. But it's just very simple to do.
Okay.
You never have to sit there and
you
test.
You know what you're doing now?
Yeah.
So, to summarize, staff is, staff is going to meet with everybody, make sure that if there were areas within each individual town that they were in fact communicated, that they're included. Once we've compiled all that data, then that's when we'll have to have the conversation of whether or not we need to change the scope of the grant and figure out, because the way it's written is different than the way that Warren interpreted and...
But only slightly.
So we just need to make sure that we're giving... We can't expect Warren and Curran to give us a study of something if we don't give them a clear path and trajectory of what it is that's going to satisfy everybody. So we're going to have another powwow of where do we want them to go now that they're at the milestone they're at. They may not be at the right spot, but we can redirect them to where we need them to go based off the information that we collect. So as of right now, it sounds like no one's very confident that they've relayed the information from the municipality.
So in the meantime, it seems to me that we need to request an extension of the grant.
Correct. Yes. I wrote that down as well.
Are you going to reach out on that?
No, reach out.
But I think we can help, municipalities can help a little bit too by, providing data. Like, these are the five things we need to put the report together for your town. I mean, Lewisboro has all the stuff they need. You probably have all the stuff you need. I mean, I have all the stuff I need. I think, it would be helpful. At the end of the day, I think what we'd like to have is something so that when any of us go out for a grant, we have some document that says, hey, this is my problem. It's all with numbers and high-level engineering. I know Wood and Curran came out, Jan, and helped you guys put some of that stuff together for your...
For a subset of the town, yeah.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I mean, I think the other thing that even would be helpful here, and there are so many grants right now that are out there, so that even, so there's a planning grant that you can get. And even just to have enough identified to say, this would be a good place to go after a planning grant. It doesn't have to be a full report, but they could say, you guys are worried about Lake Katona, there's a planning grant that you could get, and it would cost X to have an engineering report done. I mean, I don't even know how to really, I can go say, okay, give me whatever for an engineering report, but I don't know how much it costs. So even just to get some scope of, except now I see that this is worth $70,000, but to try to get the right kind of, if this is really to be a tool for the town, to be able to give the town something to do, you need to have, a planning grant, typically to do an engineering report of an area that has 400 houses, you need X amount, or 600 or 300 or whatever size, they want to say. That would be helpful to me to know that, I can use this to go ask for a planning grant. Then to say, typically for putting in a sewer district, it's, you had the number, 100,000. $80,000 per hookup or $80,000 per hookup.
It's not that far off. It was 54 to 72, and it just keeps on moving up.
Right.
And it literally is amount. It's $100,000. You mentioned the number before.
Yeah, 85,000.
65 to 50 or whatever.
No, for
Pine Lake,
it was 65 to 85,000 a household.
Right.
Yeah, that's
so
what
they
it is.
Gave that to us, then we would know, okay, if we wanted to go for a sewer district, we ought to be thinking $90,000, you know, say this happens in 5 years, we ought to be thinking $90,000 to $100,000 a house for hookup. What does that say we have to put into a grant? I mean, just, this is not something that I have knowledge about, and these guys do. So convey the knowledge to us in a way that we can then use it to go ask for grants or to size stuff. If you are going to look at a couple specific projects, but to make it useful to everybody, you know, give me some ballpark figures so I can say, oh, and by the way, every house my sewer takes X amount of phosphorus out. What's that average household worth of phosphorus? You know, I mean, I can get that out of some report, but it really helped to have something to point to so that when I go ask for a grant, I can point at this number.
I just want to throw one quick thing out here. A lot of times when you're talking about high density areas around lake communities,
yep,
nitrates are more of a problem than phosphorus is. Nitrates are being pushed down into your groundwater. They're not being properly diluted and raising the nitrate levels significantly.
Well, that's why sewers are better around lakes. In fact, at Peach Lake, we have the sewers in the ground around the lake because they've dug test pits all over, is so high in phosphorus because there was 100 years of septics that you have to be very, very, very careful when you dig anything.
Sure, but remember that generally, you know, when you've got high density areas around a lake, that 40% of your groundwater recharges your septic. When you put that into sewers, you're reducing your groundwater recharge.
We don't have that problem. I have a lake that's too high right now.
Yeah, so I would say nitrates are nitrates are bad in drinking water for people because it's not a good thing. But if you're worried about lake ecology,
it's the phosphorus.
It's phosphorus. Well, they're starting to say that maybe the nitrate-phosphorus ratio has something to do with how prevalent the toxins or cyanobacteria are that cause the harmful algal blooms. So that, I'm not dismissing nitrates as a concern, but there's most people still are targeting phosphorus. And
nitrates are easy to get rid of. Nitrogen's a gas. You break it down, it goes up in the atmosphere. 70% of this is nitrogen, right? Phosphorus, it's a solid. You break it down, and it still sits there, and something else picks it up, you know.
And, yeah, I mean, at the same time, yes.
Actually, I have a question for the DEP, if you don't mind.
They didn't mind.
At one of the seminars that Corey and I attended at Bear Mountain, which was NIWEA?
Yeah.
Right. There was a presentation that was done. There was a study on east of Hudson replacing septic systems or repairing septic systems within Boyd's Corner and Amawak. Those were chosen just as more of rural and more urbanized. It would be great if the corporation can get access to any studies the DEP is willing to share to close the gap on some of this information. Because it would be absolute folly for us to ask Water and Current to repeat a study that the DEP already has. I have the name written down, and I can. Yes, I'm not going to try to pronounce it.
Thank you. I'll talk about it.
But I will. I'll get it to you specifically. I'll write it in a formal email to you. So that way, if there's any, even if it's a preliminary study that's out there, there's no point in, you know.
Sure,
create,
yeah, send
them right
along. I'll send it around.
All right.
I'm sure we'd be willing to give you whatever we can.
Great.
Did you say Amawak?
Yep.
We'll take a look around too.
Yeah, at the point of that presentation, they were going to begin looking at other areas. Whether or not they have a comprehensive data that can be shared is another story, but it seemed as though that information might be out there to grab.
Warren, going back to what you just said about the test pits around Peach, so what is happening now? There's still phosphorus in the soil. There's enough of a legacy of phosphorus in the soil that it's still...
You have to be careful when you're putting foundations in and everything else. We're like ain't worth a tenth of a bad. So you have to make sure no silt gets in the lake because it's very high phosphorus. But it's not leaching in normally.
It's not going to leach.
But we have jellyfish. We have DEC grants. We put jellyfish around the lake. They used to Hudson that mitigate, I think, 12 kilograms of phosphorus a year from going in. They're big, huge. They're $100,000 each. They're filtered catch basins.
Yeah.
It was a 60-40 grant for $800,000, and I think East Hudson paid 30-40%. You guys paid some of it and got the credit for that. So we've done things around the lake to stop that. But you also have water coming in just through aquifers, right? And the water coming in. If you go down to Seven Springs, what's the one down in Florida? Clear Springs? Silver Springs. All the vents are solid algae, right, coming into Silver Springs because the phosphorus level in the groundwater is now so high. So you have that problem too, and then you have all the crap sitting on the bottom that's just, the dead bacteria, plankton, and everything else that's loaded up with, phosphorus and things. So, there's multiple things that contribute to it. But so we're trying to deal with a few of those at the same time as sewers. You can't just do sewers.
Other business.
Sure. If we want to dive into the topic, the Vales Grove, our insurance company has reached out again.
Okay, we need to discuss this in attorney-client, please.
Sure.
Motion to go into an attorney-client.
Motion to go into. You make the motion?
Yeah, I made the motion. Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
We're having too much fun here. I don't even know what's about, Vinny, so.
Is this going to be it for the meeting?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay, then I'm going to leave.
Except we're gonna
Vince, as you know, we do not kick you out of executive session.
We're going to
talk bad about planning.
We're going to talk about
pork chops the West just to Canada.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why
can't you hear
this
in your office?
Well,
why help they have
not
up?
They're not here.
Oh, I need to re-record the final adjournment, right?